Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here we go. Who's going to take this shot to try to tie or win? Outside to Bogey. He's crowded. Three. Oh! Bogdanovich! At the horn wins in Houston.
Bogdanovich!
Yeah. That sucked. Boy, so, what a way to start off the week.
Yeah, sorry to anybody just waking up or driving in. That's some weird dude screaming, Bogdanovich.
Yeah.
Is probably not the way you wanted to wake up.
No. So we will cleanse you right now. Well, not completely, because we're going to talk about that Rockets game last night. But welcome in, everybody. Nice to be back in the saddle again. Seth and I were gone the last few days of last week. Big thanks to Wade Smith and Cecil Shorts for filling in.
I was excited that they got to have 3 days together.
Yeah.
So just form some chemistry. Jonesy, did they treat you well?
They were perfect gentlemen.
They were okay.
They were gentle with you. They were gentle yet strong.
Yeah. They didn't get handsy with you, Jonesy? Okay, good. Yeah, I heard good things. I saw good things on social media about Wade Smith and Cecil Shorts. So we thank them for filling in for us. We are back. Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne with you on a Monday following a buzzer beater that the Rockets lost last night at Toyota Center, and it's always much worse when it's the Utah Jazz on the end of something like that. I have a hard time getting hatred built up, Seth, for professional sports teams. It's just I'm older now. I love my teams, but as far as like hating professional teams, it's hard because players cycle in and out. You're really hating the jersey as much as anything else.
You're a New York Yankee, and you want to hate every Astro, and yet Gerrit Cole is now your Yankee.
Yeah. But I have no problem working up a sufficient amount of hatred for the Utah Jazz, which is what made last night all the more painful.
Oh, so yeah. So
the Jazz I still hate. Mostly because of their fans.
It's hard to let go of that hatred for the Jazz. It's understandable. I think that, especially given this experiment that's going on, I guess people are still struggling with the nicknames. Some don't like Micro Rockets. I like Pocket Rockets, but I suppose there's kind of a little... So the double entendre thing going there, kind of like there was with the tea party where people were talking about other forms of tea thinging.
Right.
You call them the pocket rockets, and there's a whole bunch of other jokes that go along with it. But yeah. The micro ball is fascinating, and it's one that I think that this performance versus the Jazz, in some respects to me, is as exciting as the victory over the Lakers, just because it's a good performance versus a really, really good basketball team. This one versus the Jazz, you end up losing on one of four buzzer beaters that have been completed in this first half of the NBA season.
The entire season.
The entire season, there have been four buzzer beaters. Two of them have been against the Rockets.
Yeah.
And that's
Jalinka and then this dude, Bogdanovich.
And Bogdanovich also has two of those four buzzer beaters.
Right.
There's a whole 6 degrees of separation going on there that I don't know, but I don't like it. I don't know exactly what the significance is.
I don't know that they could have defended that much better last night. The last play, I mean, it was one of those ones where he's fading away with two guys on him. You know what I mean? Like, that you let him catch it, maybe, I guess, is an issue if you want to get worked up about that. The Rockets led for...
Yeah, 6.9% chance of that ball going in, according to computer people.
So what are you going to do? Now, the Rockets led for most of the first three quarters of this game, and the Jazz are a good team. They crept back into the game. I thought the Rockets showed some moxie towards the end of the game. They were down by 7 with 3 or 4 minutes to go in the game, and they came back, not only tied the game, they took the lead in the game. But P.J. Tucker pointed this out. He said, it was a buzzer-beating shot, but that wasn't what lost the game for them.
That last shot didn't lose the game. He lost the game way earlier in the third quarter, again in the fourth. They scored way too easy. Jordan Clarkson got whatever he wanted. Mike Conley got to the rim. Whenever you win it, we gave up wide open threes. So I can go down the list.
Yeah. Rockets center, P.J. Tucker.
No need no stinking centers. You know what's crazy is when we went away on vacation, we lived in a world in which most teams would have a center on their team.
Yeah.
The Rockets, we come back to the NBA where they do technically, they've got big men. They just choose not to use them.
That's right.
Even when Russell Westbrook is... unavailable, as he was Friday night.
That's right.
And you were at that game in Phoenix.
I was at the game in L.A. and the game in Phoenix.
So you saw the glory of micro ball in L.A., but then you saw the downside of it when Russell Westbrook is out versus Phoenix.
Yeah, that the Phoenix game on Friday. Look, let's look at it this way, Seth. We are now three games into the post-trade deadline version of the Rockets.
Yeah.
Dude, I know they were playing small ball before the trade deadline, but they traded Clint Capella for Robert Covington, essentially. I know there was more involved, but that in terms of the Rockets' rotation, that was the deal. So we're really now into the first three games of they are all in on this whole thing. Yeah. And Covington was able to make it to L.A. out there to play in that game and hit two gigantic three-pointers at the end of that game. If I'm assessing the Rockets these first three games of the post-trade deadline, the full commitment to the pocket Rockets, as you like to call them, I would say I'm completely enthused by what happened in Los Angeles. Mm. I would say the Phoenix game is a bit of a throwaway for me because Westbrook wasn't playing. A lot of reason they're playing this style of ball is to maximize Russell Westbrook. He wasn't even on the floor in that Phoenix game. Kelly Oubre is just shooting. He was like the love child of Larry Bird and Steph Curry. They're in that game, they were waving the white flag in the third quarter. That game, to me, the Phoenix game, while disturbing in some respects, is not a game that I look at and go, okay, well, this really forecasts doom and gloom for the Rockets. And to your point, last night's game, you lose on a three-pointer to one of the best teams in the league.
And no Eric Gordon, too. And
no Eric Gordon.
Not
also,
that you ever, you're not making excuses. These are regular season basketball games. I feel like a lot of people were acting like beating the Lakers was the David versus Goliath or something. I think it was one regular season game. It wasn't anything that necessarily surprised me. I thought that they were capable of doing that. Mm-hmm. The biggest question and the one that will remain until the playoffs is, okay, what exactly happens versus teams in the playoffs when they can get a beat on you, get a rhythm on you? But there's some things that teams just simply aren't going to be able to do well versus the Rockets, including last night. Your biggest question is, okay, hey, well, what are you going to do when you go against a team that has a big like Gobert? Well, at times, Gobert wasn't a factor at the rim because the Jazz put Gobert on Russell Westbrook. So Russell Westbrook, as he stated after the game, was not afraid of going after Gobert.
Well, I go right through his chest and put in the basket. Same way I would do anybody else. He ain't no different. He just happened to be a little taller. They all same, you know, ain't no different than me.
I haven't seen such aggressive anti-French sentiment since the early days of post 9/11. This is when we were calling them freedom fries, and Russell Westbrook's got no respect for the French.
I'm going to tell you right now, and I've been saying this somewhat subtly throughout the year because I've been, you know, kind of checking myself here, but I'll just say it right now. Rooting for Russell Westbrook is one of the most surprising, like the joy I get in rooting for Russell Westbrook might be the most surprising thing of my adult fandom. How much joy I get in rooting for him. He was one of my least favorite players in the league when he was on Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite athletes right now.
Remember how dirty you felt for the multiple years that you had to talk yourself into Dwight Howard?
Yes.
It feels the exact opposite of that. It's come so easy. Dwight Howard, it was constantly like I was having an inner monologue, or like, all right, Seth, come on, you got to do this. He's a Rocket now. You got to actually like him. No, all those other things that people say about him are wrong and uninformed. And I was constantly doing it the whole time he was here. Now I don't have to do that with Russ.
Let me tell you something about Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
As we mentioned, I was at the game in L.A. on Thursday, and we stuck around after the game. We were it was cool, man. We got to hang out on the court after the game. Dwight pulled a Deshaun Watson after the game. He was out there working on his game after the Rockets, after the loss to the Rockets. Now, he was out there shooting 18-foot elbow jumpers. I don't know that they're going to bring him in necessarily off the bench to do that. But for whatever reason, Dwight Howard decided to work on his 18-foot elbow jumpers after the game on Thursday.
Gasol reborn, huh?
Yeah, I guess. He was shooting threes before the game, during warm-ups.
Yeah,
like,
he did that here a lot. That was always one of the stories in the offseason.
Doesn't feel like a great use of your time.
Yeah, but he's a different guy now. He's found himself. He's given up a little bit of he's killed his ego a little
bit. He does. He's got the Zen working.
Yeah.
All right, so the Rockets small ball experiment. It's not an experiment. This is what they're committed to now for the rest of the year. They lose last night to the Jazz on a buzzer beater at Toyota Center. We'll talk more about that as we roll on a Monday. Seth and I are back. Nice to be back. Is it still a reaction Monday, Jonesy, or is it just a Monday? Because the XFL played yesterday. Are we reacting? Because Seth and I are about to react to the Roughnecks win over the hated Los Angeles Wildcats. Take that, LA. We beat you in basketball on Thursday, and then in football, professional football, on Saturday.
There were cameras and mics all over the place.
Thus, it was professional football. I liked it. It was pretty good.
No, I'm saying it was above board. Yeah. There was no cheating.
Oh, no. There was.
If there was, it would have been caught by one of 400,000 microphones on
true,
the field.
True.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.